So I started off doing photography in high school. That's where my passion grew, and then I was on the football field one day at a Vianney High School game, which is where I went to high school at. St. Louis, Missouri. And there's this guy named David Clutho, and he was on the field shooting. And, you know, and I mean, a high school game, how often do you see, you know, big equipment and a real professional? So I got introduced to him. Turned out he was an alumni there, and his name was David Clutho, and he's a staff photographer for Sports Illustrated.
Ooh.
So, you know, started talking with him, showed my portfolio, and he really liked it. And then he told me, well, he'd like for me to assist with him, or start assisting him at some of these, you know, college basketball games and NHL games, et cetera, in St. Louis.
What kind of stuff did he have you doing?
Well, my first event was the Missouri Valley Conference. And then I also did the some Blues games, some NHL games.
So you were shooting at these things with and for him?
Yeah, I was shooting with them, and I guess technically for the magazine. And so,
how cool was that in high school?
I mean, it was amazing. And my first hockey game, he had me shoot a low cam, and it was a backboard remote cam. And so I was shooting that, and then he ended up sending the images in to Sports Illustrated. And I didn't know about this until all of a sudden, you know, I was getting together with him, talking about some photography stuff. And then he's like, oh, so by the way, you should start looking at Sports Illustrated, finding out magazines and find out other photos and types of different sports photography that you like. So we're thumbing through the 50th anniversary edition of SI. And then all of a sudden, there it was, my picture on a double page spread.
Did you make a little high squeaky noise? What'd you think?
I mean, I was thrilled. I mean, I was just like,
how
it was too
you?
Good to be true. I believe I was 17.
Oh.
I just turned 17. So
yeah,
it's pretty exciting. Almost a little late birthday present, I guess.
I guess. So, you eventually make it to the journalism department at the University of Missouri? No.
No.
You were in marketing.
I was in marketing.
Okay. Did you go to school at Mizzou?
I went to school at Mizzou. And then before I went there, I talked to Chad Moeller, who's the director of media relations. And got a job there with their athletic department doing all their photography for the sports.
Now, what year was this?
This was 2005.
Okay.
And then, so, yeah, for 4 years straight, I shot all the games for them.
So you must have run into some Learfield folks along the way.
I'm sure I did.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably didn't know they were Learfield, but definitely ran into them. And,
okay.
I mean, because I was behind the scenes all the time with the, you know, in the action almost, or in the trenches of all the production being done. So they had to be there.
I mean, here you are at 17. You get a double spread, or whatever they call it, in Sports Illustrated. And you go to college, but you're into marketing. Was there at any point where you said, you know, man, I want to be a professional photographer?
Well, actually, in high school, I wanted to be a professional photographer.
Yeah.
And pretty much all throughout college, I wanted to be a professional photographer.
But you were in marketing.
I was in marketing because I was told, and actually I was told by one of the editors at Sports Illustrated, that you really don't need a photography degree to be a photographer.
Okay.
And so I think Steve Fine, which is the director of photography for Sports Illustrated, at one point told me that, I mean, realistically, some of the best photographers in the world never studied photography at all in any capacity. And same thing with David Clutho. David Clutho never had any formalized training in photography, and he had a finance degree at the University of Missouri. And here he is. I mean, he's like the number one hockey photographer in the world.
Okay, so you're going to school at Mizzou. You're working for the athletic department. You're taking lots of pictures, managing a bunch of other photographers. You're studying marketing. What did you envision doing with your degree when that day came?
Originally, I was just figuring, you know, I'd have no use for it other than, you know, having...
Well, what were you going to do when you got out of college?
I wanted to be a sports photographer.
Okay. And you already had the contacts at SI.
Yeah, I had that, and I had, you know, just other contacts, you know, just that popped up here or there.
So what happened?
Basically, the citizen journalist movement started coming out. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that, which is
no
an amazing
kidding.
Thing.
Yeah.
But it's bad for professionals in the field because now newspapers, they figured, well, I don't have to pay, why pay someone to go to the game when, you know, we can get, you know, a lot of citizen journalist fees, or we'll have, you know,
Or there's 5,000 Twitter feeds giving us every single thing that happened.
Exactly. Okay, or
so well, let's fast forward to graduation. Okay, you graduate from the University of Missouri.
Yeah, and then basically what it was is before I graduated, I had a connection with On the Ball Marketing, and they offered me to come in and do all their social networking for them.
Now, who's On the Ball Marketing? Is that...
It's in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, this is a company. But you're still in Columbia, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm still in Columbia.
Okay.
But I contacted them, and they wanted to start up they wanted to bring in social networking into...
So this was even while you were in college.
Correct.
Getting a marketing degree.
Yeah.
Doing photography as well. But you make this connection with a marketing company who wants to do social stuff.
Correct. This is my senior year of college. And I knew at that time that with all these citizen journalists popping up, newspapers are going to say, well, why really send someone when we can, use their feed? And especially with wire services now. Most newspapers, they're losing money due to online content. So what they're doing is they're using wire service feeds instead of like AP, US Press Wire, Getty for photography versus actually sending their own photographers. So I figured,
So you could see not a great lucrative future in photography.
In sports photography, unless you go wire services route.
Okay.
And with the wire services, it's still... the pay isn't there because there's so many photographers out there now, especially autofocus and, everything is automatic now. So almost anyone, it really lowers the playing field, or I guess maybe raises the playing field.
That's a question I want to come back to in a second because that's an interesting idea. So right now, if someone says to you, "Nice to meet you, Jonathan. What do you do for a living?" Your answer is?
It depends on the person.
Different answers for different people?
Yeah, it just depends on my setting. Okay. Because I have been a sports photographer for so long, a lot of times naturally it comes out that, I'm a sports photographer. And I still do it a lot. Because it's my passion. I work a lot for US Press
Wire. Let's say it's a really hot blonde in a nice Miami bar. It goes, hi, what do you do?
I usually say I'm a sports photographer because it's... It looks a little better, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But I also, senior of college, back when I knew photography is, really evolving, and I don't see anywhere of, making a feasible income, or at least questionable, I started looking into other avenues, which one is, blogging myself. So I started a technology blog. So depending on the certain settings.
What year was that?
2008. Started a technology blog called The Tech Lunch. Started with two other Mizzou students, and just kind of worked on it. It's generating some money. It's not substantial, but it was just I figured almost a fallback in case photography didn't work out. And then so basically it depends on my settings, but in certain settings I'll say
I'm a technology blogger.
Yeah, it just depends on...
I'm a social media consultant, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, one of my role models is Howard Hughes.
Really?
The aviator.
Yeah.
And
weirdo.
Yeah, he's a weirdo, but...
And he's dead, but...
Yeah, but I admire him for his work ethic, and because he had so many facets of what he could do. Same thing with the Virgin Airlines guy. I forgot his name, but Sir something.
Blonde guy that does all the ballooning. God. And now is doing space tours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he owns Virgin Records and he has Virgin Airlines and he has a Virgin mobile phone. He's able to do many different facets. And so I kind of view myself in the same similar situation where I'm doing sports photography and then I have, online social media and then also the technology side.
Okay, so I've seen some of your work in USA Today.
Mm-hmm.
You've been published in through the wire service or through Press Wire, I guess, all kinds of publications.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? If you knew this, maybe nobody knows the answer to this, but the newspapers and the publishing business and media in general is facing huge disruptive forces. Newspapers are laying off. 15,000 people got laid off, reporters in 2009. Where do you see all of this going?
I see all of it going towards wire services and citizen journalists.
So you don't poo-poo the notion of citizen journalists. I mean, I kind of like that, but I'm in a building filled with real, honest-to-goodness MUJ school journalists. And when I say citizen journalism, they all kind of wrinkle their nose a little bit, but not you.
Well, I'm not a big fan of it because I believe that I believe it's not a good quality. Because one of the problems is with citizen journalists, I mean, a lot of them don't have any formalized training. You know, a lot of them don't have... I don't want to say that they don't have ethics, but a lot of them don't understand journalism ethics.
And yet you think they're a critical part of the future of where journalism is going?
I do. I think that's where it's going to go. I'm not saying it's going to be for the best. In some ways, it will be for the best, because then you'll have people, you know, there'll be someone on the street, and they see something going on, and they're there to capture it, where a news reporter might not have ever been there at that particular time. But I see it actually eventually becoming part of a news organization. So, especially with ties to social media, the organization will have one branch, but then they which does the hardcore facts and will verify the hardcore news, but then getting a lot of tips from citizen journalists and a lot of blogs, for instance, from citizen journalists.
Now, for anybody that might not be as steeped in social media as you or perhaps I try to be, describe what you mean when you say social media.
To me, social media is more of the content, and it's a larger picture of, you know, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, really whatever is coming next.
Okay.
LinkedIn, I mean, any ability to interact almost online between two people.
And where do you spend your time online as far as social media is concerned? I mean, all of the above?
Pretty much all of the above. Most of it's in LinkedIn. For personal use, mainly LinkedIn or blogging.
My friend Hindonki is going to love hearing that. He's been trying to get me in LinkedIn forever. I mean, he's a big, big fan of that. But that's one of your favorites, huh?
Twitter's my absolute favorite.
Yeah, when have you got time for LinkedIn? Because you're constantly on Twitter.
Yeah, well, the thing is, with LinkedIn, I like the aspects of LinkedIn better
than professional.
I mean, it's targeted towards professionals, and my absolute favorite thing about it is that if someone's on LinkedIn, you can go ahead and you can look them up, and whether or not you're connected with them or not, a lot of times you have tie-ins that are connected with them. So you can meet a random person on the street and talk to them and then find out, hey, you know certain people to get there, or et cetera. I mean, it's all about connecting the dots. And funny story, on my way to St. Louis, I was sitting in Miami International Airport, and this girl sits down next to me and starts talking to me and, you know, is wanting to look at the weather in Dallas.
And you pulled one of your big lenses out so she could see that you're a photographer.
No, but I, you know, so I got on my laptop, looked up the weather, and then so we started talking about how she's in Dallas. And I asked her if she's on Twitter, which is actually a very common question for me. Because, I mean, I'm absolutely in love with Twitter. That's where I do spend most of the time, even though it's not my favorite as far as the networking aspects. So she wasn't on, but she's on Facebook. So we looked her up. Turns out her best friend is dating my cousin's girlfriend.
6 degrees of Twitter or something.
Yeah. Or yeah. It's, or no. Her best friend is dating my cousin. There's my cousin's girlfriend. So it's, you know, it's a small world out there.
It is. It is. Have you seen the thing where you're geolocated on Twitter at an airport? So, I mean, there's a little either an app or a website for it. So if I'm at a terminal, I'm at the Southwest terminal and such, I can see all the other Twitter users. Now, since Twitter has since added geolocation pretty much into the main sort of app, but for a while there, before they had done that, you know, I would say some guy is, you know, two gates down, and so I, you know, ping him and
you know, I mean, it's. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I mean, let's talk about we all know how you can make money from taking great photographs, even though perhaps not as much as you'd like. But and now you're working for a company that does, you're head of social media for a marketing company in Fort Lauderdale.
Correct.
Are you consulting with business clients? I mean, what's the business model from a social media perspective for what you're now doing for them?
I think it depends on the client. A lot of times I think branding's a key thing with social media. It's all about getting your name out there and interacting with your clientele. But I think there's different strategies based on, you know, if you're trying to, if you really are trying to sell something or you're trying to build a reputation.
Well, can you give us an example of a typical client scenario where they bring you into the conference and they go, hi, this is Jonathan and Mr. XYZ here with a company. I mean, some things that you have done specifically for clients in this regard? Or is it still a little early for that?
It's still a little early for that. There has been, I've worked with, I'm in charge of numerous clients with doing the social media, managing everything. And even for On the Ball, for instance. On the Ball's target as far as social media is just building brand awareness. And so it's a lot of it's, you know, communicating, interacting with people that maybe not even have never met or, you know, that could be in that space, but not always in that space.
So are you a one-man shop for this company in Fort Lauderdale? I mean,
No, there's three people within the division.
So you're all doing various kinds of things online with social media for these clients, right?
Correct.
So would it be, for instance, there's this this wonderful story that's been told and retold about the Comcast guy. He was an engineer. You know, Comcast had this crappy reputation. People were bitching all the time about stuff. Mm-hmm. He just got online and started answering questions. Well, now Comcast has six people, last time I checked.
Yeah.
Just doing this. Are those the kinds of services that you would be providing for a client?
Yeah. It is, if they need it.
Okay.
I mean, with On the Ball, we can pretty much handle any type of account based on, we have other resources that we can pull in for social networking if it's a larger account. We used to do a lot of marketing with Comcast, not social media-wise. I've talked with, you know, some of the Comcast guys and talked to other people. And, I mean, it all depends on the strategy of Comcast. They had a bad reputation of customer service. And so that's their main agenda, is providing better quality of service to Comcast users or potential users.
What is it? Dell keeps upping this huge number that they attribute in new sales to their, you know, late to the game mm-hmm. recognition of the value of this kind of, particularly just a Twitter, for instance. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you and I do a lot of the same kind of stuff. We do. Okay. I do some of the same thing for our clients. And every once in a while, somebody will say, well, is there a way that you can have a link to our PDF files of our news releases automatically posted to Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
And we say no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there may be a way to do that, but that's not how
Twitter works. That's not the use for
it. That's not how Twitter works.
Yeah.
I mean, do you find that a lot of businesses come to social media just for the buzz? They read about it in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times. This is sexy. Everybody's doing it. We want to do it too. How do we make a bunch of money with this? I mean,
yeah, we find a lot of clients like that.
Yeah.
There's one client that was actually my first client that I was working with. I don't want to name any names, but
no good idea.
The client came to us and didn't know anything about social media. They thought, you know, we'll get on social media and it'll automatically be, you know, tons of revenue coming in just from Twitter, and we're just going to pump out basically ads to Twitter. And that's the thing is, no one wants to look at a bunch of ads. With Twitter, it's all about communication and conversations, whether it's, you know, in public setting on Twitter or through direct messages. It's all about communicating within your, I guess, Twitter audience. I think most organizations don't realize that. They think, you know, we'll put up a Twitter account and it'll just go from there. And that's actually what they did. Originally, the company went ahead, or the client went ahead and created a Twitter account, and it just sat there. They didn't do anything with it. They couldn't figure out why, you know, people weren't finding them. And they didn't have any followers. And then so we totally went in there, revamped it, and started creating a lot of buzz through conversations. And half of what we were talking wasn't, you know, just directly related to what's going on in the company. Half of it was just, you know, what's going on in the Twitter universe.